gateway to bourbon country in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the Firkin Podcast, where every drink tells a story. I'm Brian.
I'm Chris. What is going on, Brian? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I'm ready. I'm ready for the week that's about to come up, and I'm ready for the big event that's coming up here in Louisville. But hey, first, I know our listeners want to know, do you have any updates on that vehicle?
To have an update on the vehicle. So for everybody who's just joining, if you actually didn't hear, I got my car, well, my wife's car stolen about 2 weeks ago or so now. And it was missing. Thought we weren't going to get it back. And sure enough, they call us and they say, hey, sir, we have found your car. It's great. But it was a part of a crime.
Oh, no.
Nope, because when I lose stuff. I mean, when I do anything, it's do always big. Uh-huh. Big. And sure enough, it was a part of a crime, and they said it was a part of a shooting.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the only update I have now.
So it has been retrieved.
It has been retrieved.
Probably
so,
don't want to be driving that thing.
No. That's it. Right. But we have one last update. You know what we did yesterday? Because you were a little slow this morning by getting all, like, set up and going today. We went and saw Bob Dylan.
Man. Nice.
At the Palace Theater last night. Like, just took him off the bucket list. Like, he was incredible. He's the only artist I think I've ever seen that I know a lot of his songs, but I'm not sure I heard anything last night.
That's right.
If that makes any sense.
He's literally, so he played one of my favorite songs, and it was the very end of the song before I realized what he was playing. I was like, oh, shit.
Wow. All
right. Cool.
Just Bobby and Bob.
Have you all seen the We Are the World documentary?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that's, he was so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable, I think.
It looks about the same.
But it was just kind of neat just to see, like, how Stevie Wonder, like, had a way of, like, making sure everyone could kind of normalize.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you just heard two voices that have joined us. Brian, who do we have with us today?
That's right. Yeah. So, as most people know, here in Kentucky, we have a nice month worth of fun and festivities called the Kentucky Derby Festival that leads up to the greatest 2 minutes in sports.
That's right.
I think the whole idea was right. We wanted to expand that out quite a bit, make it a little bit more fun than just 2 minutes. So today, from the Kentucky Derby Festival, we have Matt Gibson. He's the president and CEO of Kentucky Derby Festival. And Mike Gondolfo, the KDF executive board member and the chair of Bourbonville.
Yeah, there it is.
Awesome. Well,
what's going on, gentlemen?
Guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for fitting us in.
Glad
today.
To be here.
So, big time coming up for you all right now. Right?
Yeah. Kind of like he said, we decided we'd take something that was 2 minutes and turn it into a month-long celebration and about 1.4 million of our closest friends. So it's been a good success.
Well, for anybody who listens to our show, we always have to start with a drink because we got to get going here. So
we do a toast and everything? Right.
We're going to do a toast, the whole nine yards. And I always like to start with my guests with something ideally kind of curated for them. And so the first thing that we have here is I wanted to go back something a little bit of old school for the Derby Festival. We have Evan Williams Single Barrel Kentucky Derby Festival bottle. Now, this was the 2018 bottle. So really, really beautiful bottle this is. And this was barreled on January 8th, 2010, barrel number 250. And it was bottled on January 22nd, 2018. Now, this has the cool Derby Festival pin.
And the neat part about that one, and the reason that the wax is gold and the pin is gold, is that was the 50th celebration of the Pegasus pin, which is a huge generator for our organization and a little piece that everybody can take with it. So that was the 50th iteration of it.
And that was a cool idea, like sticking the pin and everything on there.
So, I wish I could say that was my idea, but it was not.
I mean,
I've got a great team.
Cheers, everybody. Right. Thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate that. Now, I think to kind of start this, let's have a little bit of a taste.
That's fantastic.
Just Evan Williams, just quintessential American whiskey that's just right. Beautiful.
I'm telling you, if you get your hands on this year's version, it might be my favorite one we've had. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. So
I told them right when they came in that that's what we actually looked for real fast to see if it was out yet. Yeah. So we could like go ahead and like try to grab one, see what it tastes like.
I should have brought the one like Mike. I get one to keep and one to open. Okay. Like you all. I love that everything you all have here is open and sampled and tasted.
That is right.
Otherwise, what's the point?
What's the point?
And I should have brought that with me.
Yeah. What's
that
the point of being in Kentucky?
Right.
If you're not going to drink it, right?
You're not going to drink whiskey. So we talked about why this was so important with the Pegasus pin. We have some Pegasus pins today. I thought that for all of our listeners who actually don't know much about the Kentucky Derby Festival or the Pegasus pin and everything that it does, thought we'd open some on air
And this is perfect timing because Matt's not wearing one. So,
hey, look, oh, look at this.
You want to talk about something to get me in trouble? That's the one to get me in trouble.
Well, that's, you know, he called me before he came over and he said, hey, hey, can you get me some pen? Let's open it on air. That was all Matt's idea.
We used, right. we used to actually find people if they didn't have
one. We do.
So, yeah.
So let's see.
It's a 1 in 13 chance to win, which is great. And there are so many great prizes. And with each one of these, when you open it up, depending on the way you open it, there are coupons in here and you get double your money back in each and every one of these. So here's, I've got a main event, free gameplay, and I took my daughter on Tuesday and you walk in and show this and they give you an hour free gameplay, a kid's meal for free. And then I think I got, there's one other in here. I could get a haircut for $5 off.
Nice.
I got a haircut and I also have 20% off of Derby Festival gear.
Yes.
Awesome.
Right,
we got some great gear, some Bourbonville gear, man. That Bourbonville gear is awesome.
Oh, we got bourbon.
Yeah. We'll ship some back really, over really here nice. To you.
We had to go with a brand. We had to have an apparel part of it, really to trademark everything.
Yep.
So that was a big part of it. So the Bourbonville branded stuff is awesome.
It is awesome.
Oh, I cannot wait to see all that.
We'll send some over here for you all.
So let's talk about the Bourbonville and all of the events. Actually, let's just talk about Kentucky Derby Festival alone. It's a little over 70 events. Is that right now? Are we at that?
That's right. You know, it flips or it changes every year, and we're constantly evaluating our program with our board of directors. Mike's on the executive board, and figuring out what the community wants or needs or what holes we're not doing. And that's exactly how Bourbonville came about, is creating this event years ago. When we knew that bourbon was becoming a huge thing in Kentucky and bourbonism and the whole tourism piece. So we started to say, okay, if bourbon is a thing, let's do an event on it. Mike's been a part of it for a long time.
I think, well, since the beginning, 2017, and what really was going on is we used to have part of our festivities. We would go to the governor's mansion for a little luncheon every year. And while we were out and about, we would get a group of board of directors and we'd go to a different distillery and we'd visit these distilleries and we're like, man, like, why do we not have a bourbon event? And so we just
guys all got together and said, how can we make this an actual Derby Festival event?
And really, like, you know, I've been a guy, I've been going to like the Bourbon Classic and like all those things are awesome. And they're, if you want to learn about bourbon and try a whole lot of things, they're fantastic. But we want to do something a little bit different. I mean, it had to be something very festive. It had to be something too, that if you had a spouse or a partner who maybe didn't like to just sample whiskey all day long, that they wanted to come too. So, you know, we basically turned into this awesome cocktail party where we've got 18 or so distilleries, and they're going to, if you want to try something straight, you can do that. But if you want to try their signature cocktail, you can do that. And we've got good bourbon inspired food. And
we didn't really say where it starts too. It's at the Fraser History Museum,
which
right?
is the official start of the bourbon trail. Right,
that's right.
Tying all of Louisville and Kentucky and bourbon and everything that we do well. And right at the start of it and getting, how many distilleries are kind of all involved?
Right now, I think we're at 15, but we can have as many as 18.
And that's great.
So, so it's good. And then if you don't drink bourbon, we've got some Don Julio tequila. We got Old 502 Winery, Tito's Vodka. We got a little bit of everything. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 70 events. It started with a parade.
It did.
Back in the day, 1956.
And if you walk into the festival office, you'll see the budget for that parade.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're a little bit above that right now.
$640 if
that's exactly right.
He did his homework. Right.
We're quite a few million above that now on what it takes
just a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
$640. It was four guys.
Right.
That just started it together, just volunteers, right? And like no one was paid really back in the day.
And the great part of the story is that they were sitting at the Brown Hotel having a conversation, and it was over bourbon, talking about how to create a experience for the Louisvillians, the everyday person, so that it was the haves and the have-nots. And so they started with the parade, and then it's blown up since then to 70 events.
And what was it, 59 straight years? 56.
We're in our 68th year.
68. Oh,
yeah. I was going to do the math there, and then I
probably should have done that beforehand.
That's all right. Yeah. So there's a way to look at it, whether it's the first or the annual, and that changes the number by one. But we're 68th year going into our 69th festival.
And then during that is when the Pegasus was created, right?
That's correct.
For the very first one. And now the Pegasus is the what do we say, the mascot?
The iconic, it is the mascot, but it's the iconic logo.
The iconic logo of the Kentucky Derby Festival.
Every piece of artwork that we've done, you know, we've got a poster program, we've got a merchandise program, we have Bourbonville, and everything has that Pegasus icon on it. Nice. Now, this is a throwback to one of the very original that you see.
Yeah,
Mike
school.
Is wearing one, too. That's our medal series, and every pin that exists for a particular year gets you in, and a lot of corporations will create the medal pin. But this throws back to one of the very, very first iterations of it in 1973. If ironically, if you have one of these that was the original, it's called a Lutan, it's worth about $1,400.
Really?
So wow. Look in your junk drawers, look in your parents' junk drawers for those types of things. And an entire set, 53 years, 54 years now coming out with this one, is worth about $3,000
on
completion.
I've got three of them.
I was going to say, Mike probably has a lot because he's been here for a long, long time. He's been doing it longer than I have, and I'm at 26 years.
So, 26 years, and we were talking about this right before we went on
since birth,
air.
Honestly, like since birth. I mean, I was asked about WDRB, like, what was your first memory of the festival? I was like, I don't know. Like, I can't. Like, I got born into it. My grandmother was in the organization for 6 decades. And
wow, so what did she do? Like, was she the first?
Yeah, so like at the very beginning of festival, they didn't have a whole lot of staff. I mean, it was two people, and it's still very volunteer driven. I mean, but back then it was like very, very volunteer driven. Volunteers had to do all the things that our event managers do now, and you know, so like you had volunteers putting on the Phillies ball and they're off luncheon and these huge events. And I mean, literally, that's what I told WDRB is like. I remember being in kindergarten and being at the Gold House at like 2 o'clock in the morning, setting up tables for the luncheon. So it's just it's something that has always been in my blood and I love it. And
getting back to the Pegasus pin, so this is like your admission.
It really
to
is
all the events, right?
One of the neat things is that it since its inception, it hasn't gone up much. It's one of the only tickets that we're aware of that you can buy once and use 1,000 times if you want to. You can't buy a movie ticket and go see multiple movies, but you can buy one of these. It helps with thunder. It gets you into the balloon glow, the balloon race. It gets you all over the place into Kroger's Festival, and
which
on
is
and
why
on
I
and
usually
on.
Have about 12 pins.
I do
it's
too.
Like right before I leave here, I also like shit. I've left my pin at home. I gotta go grab another one.
You know, I work there. I in fact, I'm the boss, and I have to fish it out of my dryer all the time. Like, oh, I know exactly where it is. Yeah, right out of my dryer.
You should just see how many you collect over the time. Like for every year, you have just tons of them.
Oh, true.
And you know, and I never seem to ever win a gold one. My kids have.
My kids are great at picking them too.
I don't ever get them.
No, they can't
win.
Clearly, they
don't
understand
think any
that.
Of us got a gold one here today. Nope.
Maybe one of those two are.
Yeah,
maybe.
Or no.
Maybe.
Well, you say you say you can't buy a movie ticket and get into multiple movies, but you know, I know Chris used to do that all the time. So I don't know if that's true.
Right.
I was young, man. What else was I to do? You bought the one ticket and you'd like get into the theater while you were there.
Old Showcase Cinemas there.
That's why
they shut down.
That's right.
It was all because of me.
It was all because of Chris.
The Chris Claus.
The amount of movies I saw, it was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So back to with the Derby Festival pins and the parade. Yeah. I want to go back to like the parade wise. There's been some pretty incredible like grand marshals over the years.
Yeah,
too,
it really
like,
has.
John my grandmother was General Schwarzkopf.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was
1991.
Yeah, right.
That's
awesome.
Unreal. Yeah. We had William Shatner.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders, because honestly, if you didn't get him, it's kind of a big. That would have been a big miss.
That would have been a
big miss. Mickey Mouse, was one.
Yeah, and they're very protective of that image, as you can imagine, that icon, and that was a big thing for us to do that partnership. But people trust the brand, so when we've been able to reach out and have communications with people like Disney, it can happen, which is great.
So what's your all's? Actually, before I go into this, we should go into one of our next little pours.
Okay, you'll finish this one.
Because, I mean, that's what you do when you get onto a drinking podcast,
guys. That's exactly
guys.
Right.
You got to drink.
And here's the thing. We actually all talked earlier, like one of our favorite drinks, we aren't just saying this, is bourbon.
It is.
We drink a lot of that. It's all of it. Not like all the time. So, I mean, I don't.
There's an order to things.
Yeah, you actually said that right earlier. Water does come first.
That's right. Coffee, water, then bourbon. Yeah. Not in reverse order.
Right.
Yeah, like that. It's a smart move. So now we're going to pass out this pour. Now, I did not get to be a part of this one this year, but I have had the luxury of being a part of
what year was that?
I think it was, you know what? It was our COVID year.
It was the COVID year.
Because we couldn't do it. And
that's right.
We couldn't do it together. And that was the first time that I got to do it with you all.
That's awesome. In person.
Everything. They sent us like a whole tasting kit with
these glasses.
That's whole nine yards.
Yeah, yeah. I had to do Knob Creek barrel that way too. Yeah.
It was really, really neat to do online with
it. Oh, they delivered it. Do you still have the, let me see the, remember they sent us the
Oh,
cask?
You know, I gave it, I think I gave it to one of the girls who've never done it. Cause clearly
Yeah, you don't have a lot of room.
Don't really know.
Everything's covered with bourbon. That's a good, that's a good excuse.
So this one we have here, you all did this one. So
I'm going to be out there on Tuesday.
Four Roses?
Yep.
That's,
well, I guess, you know, it'll be in the past when this airs, but yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You might be out there.
You might be out there that Tuesday.
I might be right there.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It is Kentucky. We're always at distilleries.
That's right.
So what we have here is this is the Four Roses single barrel. The proof on this alcohol is actually 58.7. So somebody doing their math,
116.2. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll say at the point.
Did I do
point four?
Did I do my math right?
Dude,
here he says he's not. Math isn't his thing, but good job.
A couple more in.
Okay, good.
let me tell you.
Yeah.
And this is specially selected by the Kentucky Derby Festival, and the poster artist had a part of this selection too, right?
That's exactly right.
And that is what that poster is. You've been doing the poster bottle for, man, I guess how long now? I've known you've done it for a while.
I would say 13, 14 is when we started doing that and tying them together. They've been a great partner and really tying it all together. And it is one of their faster selling bottles, just like Evan Williams.
And actually, these two distilleries have been with Bourbonville every year that we've done it. I think it's the only two distilleries that we've had every year.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll tell you, I get to help release this bottle every single year. And this bottle lasts about, I don't know, 36 minutes.
Oh, it does. It really does.
That's like for all of these people who sign up, this is the one Kentucky Derby Festival event that you don't have to worry about like spending all day there. 36 minutes, get in line. If not,
it's done.
Over.
Yeah, that's
how
right.
The bottle goes. So what's really neat about this is we have recipe OESV and it's aged 9 years. And because I can't ever remember all of the 10 recipes, they say OESV is going to be delicate, fruity, fresh, and creamy.
Just like me.
Yep.
That's what we say about you,
actually,
Mike.
You know, yeah. I heard that you really fought to name that after you,
right.
And they were really against the idea.
Well, I got the O for Gandolfo at the beginning. Yeah.
Well, I would tell you that you said that's an OESV, right?
Yes.
Three of the last five have all been OESV, so there must be something that's calling our name in that. Yeah. Wow.
So cheers on this one.
Cheers.
Right?
Really good. Yes. Yeah. I like this style. I mean, I'm going to see if any of my other meetings will go like this during the week. It would be
fantastic.
Come
to our Bourbonville meetings.
That's right.
There you go. That's how I expect them to be held. Yeah.
I am lucky enough if you make it into my office. I've got a full bar in my office, and it's an open bottle bar. I mean, it gets used.
As it should be.
Yeah. I'm the type that'll bring out that serving tray and any of that on a 4 o'clock beyond meeting. There's no reason not to.
There you go. Coming up here soon, the kickoff to the Kentucky Derby Festival.
10 days away.
Tell me a little bit about Thunder over Louisville. What's it like to plan that thing out? I mean, that thing is just
massive. That's prior to this role, that was a majority of my role. And I can remember being at the first one down on the river on the Belvedere. Uh-huh. And looking up, I think I would have been a senior in high school.
It was 91, if I remember.
I would have been a senior in high school.
Year,
yeah, and looking up and saying, gosh, is this somebody's job? And then who knew that a handful of years later, I think it was 6 years later that I joined the staff, thought I'd do it for 3 to 5 years, and then found out that you got to touch the balloon race, you got to be a part of the parade, you got to work on Thunder, and that was a majority of what I did, and just love it. I mean, it is still one of the largest annual fireworks shows in the world.
Yeah.
It is the largest annual fireworks show in North America. Things like the Olympics will beat it from time to time, just from intensity. That's right. That's
sure.
right. Those Olympics that happen every 4 years. And then, you know, to create a warm-up event for the crowd that comes down early, that is one of the top air shows in the country, is astronomical too. And in 19 going into 20 was when we started talking about adding the drones piece of it. And during the pandemic, that was a neat thing to be able to take out to the community when we spread it out. If you remember in 21,
absolutely,
when we were doing everything that was creative, Chris, you know, to try to figure out what we could do for the community when nobody could do anything, and took the show all over so everybody could step out on their back porch and see it from somewhere.
What a cool idea.
It was fun. And it was as much just like we were talking, the key of this podcast is getting together and talking about things that are relative to here. Bourbon is huge, but the Derby Festival is part of that thread of the fabric in this community. It's why Mike's an easy person, but there's a lot of folks like Mike that they have so many early memories, myself included. I can remember in 1978 or 79 being at one of the great balloon races on the hood of my dad's car, eating donuts and watching those iconic balloons lift. And you can hardly go in a dentist office or a Kroger here locally and not see some of those iconic images, whether it's the horse race or the balloons or a thunder pictorial that is there. And it just, it's the neatest thing to be involved in. I love it.
And that day in particular, though, our committee that does thunder, because we've both been doing that for a long time too, is it's just really close knit. And man, but it is a machine. Like when you think about what we accomplished the day before setting up, like, cause you really don't know anything's going on Thursday, but Friday we start setting up. And of course, Saturday the event happens, and Sunday you can go downtown. Doesn't look like anything happened. So it's, I mean, that's to me the thing that I love about Thunder is being involved, working it, realizing that we're putting on this massive event for a couple hundred thousand people, and we build it up, have the event, tear it down, and there it is.
There you go.
I mean, you say that too. I mean, you're talking everything is gone trash.
It is.
Banisters, all of the vendors. I mean, it's clean.
Yeah. No one holds us to that standard but ourselves.
Right.
They really would give us a week if we wanted it, but we take such great pride, whether it's wet, whether it's a great day, and you know, the weather has a huge impact, or the threat of weather.
Sometimes last year's a threat.
Oh, sure. Sometimes we call the our friends in the local meteorology profession terrorologists, because they will build it up and build a lot of concern. So it will have a big impact on what people can do. But on a good weather year, the trash that gets left behind, as you can imagine, is something to be considered. And we take great pride in, by the time you get up on Sunday morning, and our volunteers and our teams are there working all through the night, and we really don't take the venue until Friday at, let's say, 10 a.m. To really put things in, like Mike was saying, and we build all the way through. We receive 800,000 people, one of the largest open-air venues on the continent, and that's our DMA here in Louisville is about 800,000 folks. So you can imagine everyone is there. And then once the show is done, we get to work again. And by morning, it's all gone.
We don't have to imagine everyone's there. We've seen it.
We've seen it. It's crazy, isn't it? And it's a very kind crowd. That's the crazy part. It's awesome. Kind crowd.
Which is really cool, yeah.
Just like you said, you know, it was always one of my favorite events. It's one of the things I remember. Like, we watched some old, like, preparing for this. We watched some old videos, and that's where we saw the 1991 one. And I didn't realize that's definitely the one I was at, too, because when I was hearing all of the Disney music going on in the background, right. I was like, oh, I remember going also. I remember my family took me down there.
Yes.
But I remember all the amazing Kentucky Derby Festival events, and there's been some crazy ones over the time, and then some that still are going on today, too, right?
And, and then for the people who've always loved Thunder, it's going to be kind of different this year. We actually have a new show designer. So the show design, this is, and he's promising that we're going to have the greatest finale of all time.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see.
Which we said, we'll talk about that the minute after. Because you know what Gargantua is. I mean, when we just rattle your chest and we were in a meeting with Mike.
But yeah, you're going to get a brand new show design. So it's going to be something kind of different, and you know, a reason to go down and see it and wear your Pegasus pin because, man, I just want people wearing these pins. I think it's such a sign of city pride.
Absolutely.
You know, for us to just, this is when the whole world's looking at us. And when we're walking around, we got these pins on, it kind of unites us. You know, because Derby Festival is the one thing that it's the one thing our community does that's for everybody.
Right.
You know.
Now, have you guys ever gotten to push the button?
I don't even get to push a button.
No.
You know, the there's always somebody extraordinary. The joke in my old role is that if Matt was in the building, there was something going on, because I was always the on the ground guy, the man behind the curtain. But now
we never want to see Matt.
You don't want to see ask Amy. I mean, you know Amy and April well. If they saw me in, because I was always down on with the crew. That is my one of the things that has made this so good. And such a great job. I thought I would do it for 3 or 5 years, but then you get to meet the people who love it. I mean, Mike and I have been friends for many, many years because of this. And some of my best friends are because of this organization, and they just come and do it for the right reasons. Like you said, it does things for the community That and it's the one thing that draws everybody together. So we absolutely love it. I mean, there's other events that we work on together.
Yes, lots of them.
There are. Yeah. One of our favorites is bed the bed races. You knew I was going
to
say that.
Oh, yeah. We were going to get to bed races because there's no way we can talk about the Kentucky Derby Festival and not talk about bed races because I have to know. How did that come about?
Yeah.
So I can tell this story.
Yeah, you for sure. Yeah. That was after like, my little college break time.
That's right. So in the early 90s, as we're always doing, we're looking for big programming, how we're going through that process right now, and a big research project to find out what we're not doing that people want to see. And somebody told us about this great event down in Florida that the adult entertainment industry was doing that was bed races.
Leave it to
Florida. And yeah. So we sent, exactly.
Is this where you're actually not paying, you all just spend some time down in Florida, that's see right. what's happening, and be like, this is weird.
We looked and it looks a little bit different than our bed races because it had a pajama party too that looked a lot different than ours.
I bet it did.
It did. And so they were pushing these beds around.
We do have a pajama party.
We do, but it does not look like that.
A little different, huh?
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah. And so we met with them and the excitement, probably bad choice of words, just the energy built around this event, it was, yeah, was fantastic. So we brought it back and on average, we get about 50 beds every year. It's not always the same beds. And we run them through. We've had a lot of great venues. We had Louisville Motor Speedway. We had 4th Street Live. We've been to the Yum Center. Our favorite so far has been Broadbent because it lends itself perfectly.
Oh, it's almost perfect.
Oh, it is. To put 3,000 people in that room, and they tell me if I'm lying, Mike, when they get so excited, it sounds like they're going to cheer the roof off of that building.
It really does.
It is. And you leave that event, and it is a great, you know, we've done a lot of work, and over the next few weeks we will. And to start Derby Week with that event, you laugh so much. You come out and your head hurts, your chest hurts because you do nothing but laugh. Some companies put $20,000 in a bed. Some companies put $20 in a bed, and they will disintegrate. They wreck into each other. It's just such a good time. Just the creativeness is insane.
Oh, you just gotta love it.
Yeah, and we're one of the few bed races I think actually where you do have to turn. So
yes.
Most of them are straight shots, but we got to do a figure eight.
That throws a lot more skill into the
although
whole situation.
I was doing some college tours with my son. Sounds like you guys are probably getting ready to do the same thing, right?
Yeah, so
unfortunately.
We were up at Lehigh in Pennsylvania, and one of their pitches to the parents is like, oh, we have this thing during Rivalry Week where we do bed races. And I was like, I just perked up. I was like, you all do bed races?
He did.
And I was like,
up.
Wait a minute, you guys are like – taking drunk kids and having them race downhill, that's not safe. Like, right. That's not safe at all.
It makes great for video moments.
Sure.
Yeah.
100%.
That's great. And so, what do they win if they win the bed race?
Or
is it just the
prize? A small prize package.
I mean, pride's all you need.
Well, I mean, we have a legit rivalry going on right
now.
Yes. Like, legit. Legit rivalry.
Oh, we'll see.
Mike was doing an analysis over the teams recently, and this is the biggest number. So you have two categories, the fun who you just get there and they're just there for exposure to show off their name of their company or the like. And then some who are there, is it a sub 30 Mike or sub 32?
Yeah. That's,
that they have to get into the competitive division. And we have more operating or competing in the competitive division than we ever have.
Yeah.
And all the way back to the early 90s. And they are hard.
Wow. But in particular, awesome. Texas Roadhouse used to dominate this event.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The finish line is named after Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, really? So we keep saying used to, though. So are we trying to start somewhere?
Well, the last couple years.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
They've been given a run for their money. And from what I understand, they're not happy. And they're like, they're reevaluating their pushers.
They are. There you go.
Some of these companies will do time trials, and they're probably doing them this week right now to figure out.
You
they wouldn't do them last week because they'll make sure that they keep those times up. I mean,
the great. Full Throttle, the group that does the go-karts and stuff like that, they've come on the scene. They have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so like those two guys, like those two teams right there, they are going at it.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It's a lot of fun, you know.
Thank goodness we see NIL because I think we've got some paid athletes.
I'm sure.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Huh. And you go through the airport, and there they are, the Texas Roadhouse group with the guy with the blue hair on the airport.
They're probably absolutely just going around looking at all their Texas Roadhouse employees and be like, all right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
What do you run the 40 in?
Right.
They're hiring this week, I'm sure.
There you go.
Put them out in the parking lot.
They're actually standing right outside the University of Louisville track and field area, just giving free applications.
Soon as spring practice is over for football, they're like, hey.
Exactly.
Hey, what are you guys doing right now?
And it's a great example, too. I mean, that's an event that gets you in for Pegasus Spin. I mean, and you get there, it's not just the racing. If you get out there in the dormitory where they are there all day long, and there are skits that go involved with it. There are costumes and hydraulics, and sometimes we've seen live animals as part of some of these decorations. It's crazy.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All for the price of a Pegasus Spin.
I'm telling you, that is my favorite thing though about the Kentucky Derby Festival is you guys race everything.
It's boats, it's beds, it's horse, it's bicycles, it's people, it's a good time. Yeah.
So we just took a quick little one more pass of another pour, because I definitely want to make sure that you guys get to a little bit of a chance to pick anything that you guys want up here. I have to introduce this pour because it is amazing.
It is amazing.
You get a lot of cinnamon, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So this is the other barrel that you all picked.
Yep.
Now this is going to be an OBSQ. And now this is 10-year, 11 months. So nice. We're flirting at 11-year-old.
Yeah. That one's got a little bit easier math on it there.
Yeah, definitely easier math. There you go. 61%, all right, which would be 122 for everybody who's playing with us at home. So, and we're going to go and read what OBSQ means real fast. Slightly fruity, spicy, meaty. Oh, hon, wrong one. There's 10 recipes. Hon, floral, rose petal, spicy, and medium body.
Yeah. Give yourself 5 years, you're not going to be reading that label. I can't
tell you. Right.
Barely read it now.
I tell you, I just turned 51, and I didn't know what was going on with my eyes. Rough. I just turned 51, and somebody said, Matt, it's because you turned 51. Yeah. I was like, shit, are you kidding me? Is that what that is?
That's the problem?
I can't see forward. I can't see close. I can't, it's the damnedest thing.
I'm going to tell you what, that four roses there.
It is. It's incredible.
Good. Like, that is really good.
You know, in some of these, and I've been, with the exception of the Evan Williams that we picked, I've been able to pick every one of our bottles since 2019. And even at barrel strength, when they're introducing them to us, it's just such a great flavor. You can taste the flavor. There's a lot of heat, but you can taste the flavor. Right.
Don't you all think the chair of Bourbonville should also be
It seems like it.
I would love to have you there.
I think he said he sent you the invite.
Oh, is that what happened?
We're never getting back to him. So
write it down now that we're three tastes in. Write it down and remind me. Yeah,
that's when the best. This is when remind we come me. Up with our best ideas on our
exactly.
three or four pours in. It's when the best. Stuff
I'll never
comes
forget
out.
That first barrel pick I did ever.
Me neither.
Oh man, it was because you just don't know what you're getting into. And
what was your first?
It was an Ob Creek. But 10 o'clock in the morning, you're trying like eight different barrels of bourbon right out of the barrel. I had to take a nap in the car. You know, it was that's back when they used to feed you really good after that. Like they take you to the bar.
So I think I've told this on the show before. That was my first one. My actually first bottle. That's the only other bottle that's not open up here.
Yeah.
So Wild Hats, big fan of those guys here. If you don't know Wild Hats, go to Wild Hats, go see Chandler. But behind there, there's an old Knob Creek bottles, the first barrel select I ever did. And it used to be where you could follow along with the barrel after you picked
it. Yeah.
You did it, and then you followed along with it the whole tour. You do the bottling at the top. You stuck your finger in the wax. Yeah. Has my thumbprint on
it.
All this stuff before COVID.
Yeah, we don't do any of that.
That's fair.
This is how we would taste barrels all pour from the same glass. Oh, you want to put here? Let me put it right in your mouth, too.
Speaking of
we're
Florida.
We're still 6 feet apart. Right.
but they don't make good. They don't make good whiskey in Florida, bro. Let's not say that. But that was the first one, and it was like 10:15 in the morning, and I was like, "This is
why are they always that early?" I have this big leather couch in my office,
and
I come back from those tastings, and everybody's like, "Okay, Matt's gonna disappear for a little bit."
He goes right up and he says, "Hey, clear my calendar. Busy meeting." Locks the door, passes out. That's when Matt says it's always. That's when he's always working the hardest.
That's right. That's why I have a bar in my office. Yeah. Right.
Let's get through those hard days. You know, it's Kentucky. That's the.
It is.
It's okay.
It's acceptable. Oh, it is acceptable.
I see the exact.
Expected, really.
Yeah. So what's that? I got to know. It's one of with having so many Derby festival events, mm-hmm. kind of what's everybody's, do you have a favorite?
Yeah.
Like, is there one that just pops out that just,
I would say right now the bed races are is my mm-hmm. favorite.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they all have like, there's different reasons why I like so many of them. So for example, our sure. Day of the Downs that we do on Derby has really kind of evolved. It used to be like a B-list celebrity Day of the Downs, and it's turned into now it's like almost like this party with us and our sponsors, the board members and the staff and the sponsors of like, look, what we just freaking did all
look
this.
Look what
man.
We did.
Yeah.
Look
and it's really did. Kind of that's become.
Is it kind of like maybe your end of the year? I mean, I don't
know. Well, it's unofficial. Like, we don't call it that. Yeah, right. You know, we kind of got this, the celebrities with the parade, and the parade used to, you know, because the parade's now on Sunday. So the parade's not on that day anymore. But just changing that, it changed the whole mood around that event. And it's just like, man, let's just celebrate what we just
that's
did.
Right.
And
it's awesome.
I really enjoy that piece of it too. So,
well, you got to make sure that you have that time to celebrate.
And yeah. And when I stepped into the role, we did a lot of evaluation on things, and we actually had that conversation.
Yeah.
And with the executive board, and that, so we're a board of 75, and there are 75 just phenomenal Louisvillians, and the 19 that are on the executive board really helped me as the president and CEO.
Yeah.
Decide the direction of the organization, what we're going to do. They're my strategy group and kind of that generative discussion looking towards a future piece. And we really started to look at some different things. And instead of spending time with B-list celebrities that somebody would have to say, oh shit, you better Google that and yeah. tell me who that is. It was a better decision to spend some time with people who had gotten us to that point. Yeah, looking sure. backwards through it in a few weeks, you know, we will look back and say, oh, this was a great experience. It's always going to have challenges just because it's a monster in this monster town.
Yeah.
And the great thing is that with all the resources like Mike and others, I always say you don't have problems till you're out of solutions. And to get all of these people, the joke, as I say in our board meetings, they're still taking my call because we'll talk about a lot of things and decide a lot of things about the future of the organization. And we could sit there and toast a bourbon or whatever it is, people's choice, and talk about it, because we really have a phenomenal partnership with Churchill and all of the folks there, because we really do celebrate that race. That's why you see the 150 on the Pegasus pin. I mean, we wouldn't be here without them. Yeah. And we've got a great relationship. So as we kind of say, we've handled our 1.4 million folks, we get together with the people who helped us make it happen. We hand it over to our partners there at Churchill, and then they do what they do and have been doing so well for so long. Very nice. And so it's a great celebration of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. I tell you, it is one of the coolest things to be involved in. I mean, Mike's a great example. I mean, he was younger than my kids are currently, and I met your kid, Chris, and you know, having him involved from that point forward. And there's a lot of stories like that. They do it for the right reasons, and it's fun. And we all look, one jacket by itself looks weird. You know, you've seen our jacket.
Right.
And you have to explain it. Oh, but when you see the 75 of them together, it is very powerful.
Oh, it's an army.
I mean, it is awesome to see together.
And I just also, if there are those people out there that want to give back and they want to get involved, the best way you can do it, like, especially if like you're like, hey, one day I want to wear a pink jacket. We have a group called the Thoroughbreds. And the Thoroughbreds, when I was a kid, I remember becoming a Thoroughbred in 1987. I was in the fifth grade. And it was like such a big deal. And it really was, because you had just these, it was like these, they weren't on the board, but it was like a group of people that were really essential to putting the Derby Festival on. And we're going to make a bigger effort there to kind of re-energize that group. And our board is either a corporate seat or it's a volunteer seat. And so that Thoroughbred group is going to be kind of the pool where we're going to look first when we need a volunteer seat on our board. So if you want to get involved, I just really, really, recommend getting involved with the Thoroughbreds.
How can somebody
if you go to kdf.org and you'll find the information for the Thoroughbreds.
Wonderful.
And to volunteer. We need volunteers. I mean, that's
yeah,
the,
really do.
The only way that this whole 70 plus events gets put on is volunteers.
We gotta have the volunteers.
It takes us about 4,000 folks to do it, because you can imagine with 70 events, and things happen not only while the event is live and people are attending. It is the setup. It's the cleanup. It's the all of the fun things. We need people who know how to drive heavy equipment. We need people who, I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. If you have a forklift license,
yeah.
We will find lots of stuff. Yeah.
We have a lot. Yeah. If people followed what happens that it takes, because during the period that over the next few weeks, we will build about 20 enormous venues And we do it while nobody's looking. Then we turn them on and people attend. Then when their attention is attracted to another one, we strike them and we move on to something else. And we've got teams. There's a whole army that comes out and does it. And we're sitting at about 68% of what we need. You know, we're sitting at about 3,200 and closing that gap over the next handful of weeks. And the great part is that we see time and again that people will come out and do multiple shifts or multiple years or multiple events. I mean, it's once they get there, we make it fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And if anybody is looking to volunteer, we'll put all of this information on the show notes as well as all of our social media channels as well.
And if you go to kdf.org, it's right there on the front page. But the cool thing now is like you can actually tailor your volunteer experience. Like when you go to the site, you can say, this is what I'm good at. This is what I want to do. And like, we can really kind of fit you into something that you're going to be
comfortable keeping that person's interest, because maybe they say they want to volunteer, but maybe they don't want to do some type of job.
Exactly.
Right. If you're building that already love for it and they feel like they can do that every single year. That's a great idea. Before we go to our little fun game that we kind of had for you guys, what we did is we actually picked the bottle Wild Turkey Generations. Mm-hmm. This is a collaboration with Jimmy Russell, Eddie Russell, and Bruce Russell. I know Bruce is not named a master distiller yet, but we would like to think he's probably on that path.
He's got his like it. Yeah,
probably.
He does have the last name.
Yeah, he's really going in the right direction. But this is all three of them working together, and this would be the first kind of I guess three generations of
collaboration,
master distillers working together. So,
you gotta love Jimmy Russell, man.
Man,
like,
he's
so accessible. And it's like, if you just go out there, he's just sitting in the gift shop and you'll chat. You know,
he's so great.
I learned so much about his high school baseball and basketball career. Just, you know.
Do you want to go see him?
He was a hell of an athlete. Like, people don't realize.
No, he really was. He was a great athlete. Yeah. I wish I knew his whole entire history, but let's cheers, guys. Oh, yeah. Thank Jimmy, you again so much for coming out and hanging with us. Just for a little bit and talking the Kentucky Derby Festival. And, you know, when we always like to end our shows, we always like to do just something fun in some way. So we decided to maybe get some reactions of some cool, just weird derby things that have happened over the years.
Okay. I love it. So we may have been there. Mike and I may have been there.
We probably were.
Why not? So
never know.
Brian and I, a little bit earlier this afternoon, went through and pulled some pictures. So we'll turn your attention to this bottom monitor here. And here in a second, he's going to pull up some pictures and just get some feedback on what we kind of see here.
Yeah. I tell you, everybody always talks about, oh my gosh, I've seen it before. Why do I need to go down there? It is the coolest thing, and what we're looking at in that picture is all of those various colors. Colors in fireworks that do what we see there, 3, 4, and 5 colors in those, and you can see some that have burned a little longer on the left and some that are burning a little slower on the right. And then the launches that are happening on 2nd Street Bridge, it is one of the most unique venues in the world because of that bridge.
And the river. The
and then how quickly.
You don't even catch the reflection there first.
But by where that's standing, I know exactly who took that photo. Jonathan Roberts is a phenomenal photographer, and that is his perch. And some of the artwork that I have in my office, because it really is artwork.
Oh, yeah.
And to see what has happened just in the last 15 years on colors and what they're capable of. And it is the most coveted show for international designers to help design the show. So we have a new one who is an international. His name is Patrick, and he is incredible. And that's what Mike was saying earlier. What we are going to see this year will blow your socks off. I've seen it digitally on a computer, and it is going to be astronomical. So that is a fantastic shot. Look, you see the Bell of Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a great juxtaposition.
Gosh, yeah, we're going to get that like blown out and stuff.
I know. It's artwork. It's beautiful. Imagine that in a second and a half later, or maybe even a second, and all of those. And that's why we call it a 3D show. You're going to see that those are going to explode up, and you see the one on the right or on the left that's above that hasn't even started to burst yet.
Right.
And you see the same one on the right. And in a second, maybe a second and a half, it's going to be 8 or 9 huge ones, and all of the ones off the 2nd Street Bridge will just be mind-blowing.
And actually,
Street
I would say it's 4D, because when you're down there, feel it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you do.
Well said.
Yeah.
We always tell people you will understand thunder the day after. Yeah. There's no way to explain it.
All right, what's next, Brian?
All right, let's see what else we've got here.
There you go. Our favorite. The funny thing is, if you were to pan that picture back, you would see Mike somewhere there. That is me to the bottom right. That's I was the official starter for many, many years.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
Look at that. We didn't even know we got you in that.
He doesn't give it up. He still gets out there. He has to get his couple waves in every year.
Love it. And you can get your ass kicked standing there because there's a lot of horsepower. Those four guys on the back of each one, they take off, and they, if you are not fast and you don't think thin thoughts or you don't squat down, you could get rolled. And we've seen it, haven't we, Mike?
Yeah,
we've seen it happen.
Saw a photographer.
Yes, we did. Oh, my gosh. And we got a picture, and the photographer was great enough as they were coming down the back stretch, which is right behind where they're standing. And I know that looks like a lot of cones, but if you look at it from over top, it is a figure eight. I mean, they have to think about what they are doing.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the photographers saw it coming. He knew it was going to get hit. So he decided to just hold the shutter button and just some great footage as he gets just rolled, run over by one of the beds. So yeah, it's a great time. Good and if you him. Again, if you pan that back, it wouldn't only be me, but Mike's standing around there somewhere too. Somewhere.
The guy in the long gray shirt though, we lost him this year.
We did.
And he was just one of, I mean, he was on the board for a little bit, but he was one of those guys that there's a lot of people who are on the board and after they're off the board, they kind of disappear. Richard was like the quintessential volunteer.
He was.
I mean,
he was unbelievable. Yeah.
We called him the professor. He's the kind of guy you could call and there's a term I won't say it because I don't know the rating on this show, but I mean,
they did cut.
We're
us
good.
A little bit, so, yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say didn't.
You could call him and he can help you unfuck anything.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And actually, if you want to know the real story about how I got reinvolved with the Derby Festival, I was working downtown and I would go to the downtown YMCA in the morning. And so Richard and I would spend many, naked days in the sauna together. So, and we were taking the steam room, and we were in the steam room talking about Derby Festival. And then he got me actually back involved with the parade, and then that led into doing the Derby Classic stuff.
So. I'm so glad that we're not having this in a sauna. This conversation in a sauna. As up Gibson. As up Gibson.
Right. That's the next
iteration.
Make some real good friends.
Yeah, for next year when we talk Kentucky Derby Festival, will take place in the sauna.
That's right.
What else you got, Brian?
All right. There we go.
Great steamboat race. It was
somebody's cheating there.
Yeah.
We just don't know who.
I'm sure there are someone cheating on
the unfortunate part is the Delta Queen, which was the quintessential race partner to the Bell because it was actually a paddle wheel, is in mothballs, and there is a congressional discussion happening about what it takes to get her back. Because you're getting rid of history if you start to attack those kinds of vessels. And the Belle of Louisville is really a gem to this community because there aren't many that are true. The Belle of Cincinnati is a great partner of ours, but that's like racing a Volkswagen against a Porsche Carrera.
Yeah.
You know, turbo. And
you guys had to make a lot of adjustments to that race.
We have. Yeah. And it was Doug Proffitt who did a segment a few years ago and really did some expose about, what the value of that race is. But when you look along the Ohio and you see a couple hundred thousand folks from all the way from Waterfront Park, all the way out to Cox's Park and Captain's Quarters,
right?
And it doesn't matter that it is the theatrical piece of it.
Uh-huh.
It is what it represents. And this town was built with those hardworking vessels and to go out and celebrate. And Mike can say it too, because we both have the opportunity to go on there. And both of those tickets are so popular for a reason. It's a big bourbon cruise. Mm-hmm. We got to get
I've
you
been
guys on
it.
Good. We got to get
so
on it.
So that's when we went. I didn't get to say. So that is one of my favorite events.
It is.
And the best part is, too, is when everybody gets on, it's like just you're rushing because, it is.
You
it's
are.
In the weekdays. You're rushing to get down there. You finally get to sit and relax for a second. Everybody's kind of quiet at first.
Yeah.
Really all it's everybody's just kind of finding their seat. Everybody's kind of quiet. Dude, by the time that race starts back and by the time you get back,
it's
it is
rowdy.
A full-blown party.
Yes.
That
is why you
so
see all those
fun.
Police vessels, the Coast Guard, the ambulances, the fire department.
All
so
a whole lot of Ubers ready to
That's right.
You'll get your car tomorrow.
That's right.
It is so much fun. It makes the next day extremely difficult.
Well, we say the Derby is the fastest 2 minutes. We say this is the slowest race in sports.
It's okay. It can go slower.
Yeah, about 13 knots. I think that equates to 9 miles an hour. I mean, what race happens at 9 miles an hour?
No, but everybody on there is going 150 about the end of it.
And that is what this is all about.
Yeah.
And all it does is crescendos past that, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And the everybody's dressed to the nines. There's so much colors, so much festivity.
So much fun.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I love that
race. All right, Brian.
Brian, you picked some great pictures,
man. Thank you.
Ah, yeah.
Here you go.
We talked about this.
Tell me about this.
Well, and just really talking about another board or KDF volunteer we lost recently, Alex Freeman, was just, when I think about my first Derby Festival memories.
The ambassador of balloons.
It was going to the balloons with her. And, you know, I've got all these balloon pins at home from when I collected when I was a kid. And that was it. I mean, this is my first KDF memories for sure. And then Alex was this really small, like petite woman who had anything but a petite app.
She was terrifying.
Yeah. We called her the bridge bitch.
So
yeah, for funders. I mean, and she actually took me to, when I was in, I don't know, the fourth grade or so, she took me to my first ever WWF wrestling event.
Oh, good. Yes. There you
go. So I like to go see Andre the Giant down at Louisville Garden. So it was pretty awesome.
And she was a bigger personality than him.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most romantic things about the Derby Festival piece, it doesn't matter if you see these, and we're looking at the Great Balloon Glow, and to see them glow at night. We were one of the very first balloon glows in the United States, and now they're done with every balloon race. We were one of the first three balloon races in the United States back in the early 70s, and it's why Louisville has become such a mecca for some of the best balloon pilots in the world. And we've got people who have made it around the globe, across the United or across the oceans. We've some of the highest elevations in balloons, and even though you can't steer these, we've got some phenomenal pilots here in this community who could do some astronomical things. And to see these events, whether, again, like it's at night down at the waterfront now at Kroger's Festival, to see what that looks like. And we're trying to make it a destination for folks. You know, you could get the food, the rides, the cocktails, any of those, and make it a big family experience. Or the next morning, if you want to do what we've done for so many years and wake up and be there for the 7:30 a.m. launch when the cannon goes off and the hair balloon launches, and then they wait and they fire the cannon a second time, and they will follow them across the springtime winds, which are just insane. You know, we joke all the time. What a great idea to have an outdoor festival in Kentucky in the springtime, because what could go wrong, right?
Yeah.
You know, and in those few minutes, once the hare launches and then they fire the cannon a second time for all the rest of the hounds to follow, that's the format that we use, and they try to track them. The winds can change drastically. That's why you see them scattered all over the community. So it's just a fantastic event. And it really is synonymous with what we do.
Any good stories about where the hare balloon has dropped the target?
Oh my goodness. Yes.
I had a team up for that. So.
Yeah. You know, in Louisville, there is no Louisville North. Louisville North is Southern Indiana. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you have noticed, we're kind of a bridge centric community and we keep adding bridges, but there haven't always been a lot of options. And when the winds are out of the south, taking it to the north, and that just consequently flies over our mini marathon start, which happens at the same time when you have balloon 50. Oh, my goodness. Balloon 50 balloon teams chasing, because you have a support crew that follows them on the ground and they have to follow roads and road rules. And the picture is great when you see, you know, 16 to 18,000 people at the start of the mini marathon. But from somebody from my role, when I see it, or Mike's role, there's a few of us who stand there and say, oh, shit, because we've cut the town in half with the mini marathon. And we're like, oh, that looks great going over the Ohio, but how the shit are they going to get there? Yeah. We've created our own problems. So, yeah.
Oh, you got to love that.
Oh, it is great.
That's funny.
But the great thing is that most people don't know that that's what we deal with. So it's all good and fun.
All right, Brian.
There you go. Pegasus. You know, that again, the Zoller Pump Company Pegasus Parade is one of the quintessential events that we do. And, you know, parades have certainly been a big thing throughout history, but now other events come and do different things. And they might be cooler, or they might be a fad at the time, but regardless if it's the Rose Bowl Parade or the Macy's, they're all good friends of ours. We connect with them constantly. It is something that brings the community together, because that's where you see your friends.
Right.
School marching bands, equestrian teams, those that have won national champions. We know that some of our VIP in this parade will be the Sacred Heart team that has won 4 back-to-back championships, state championships. The Simmons Division II women's team what a great story there will be in the parade. Officer Wilt, Nick Wilt, who was there.
Yes, absolutely.
We couldn't celebrate him last year because it it happened a few weeks from now. Yep. And then obviously Rescue 2 from Louisville Fire Department. All of those people that make this town so great, that lean in and do so many great things. And it's awesome to see the 200,000 folks who come out and cheer that. And the joke is with the people that I work with, one of these days I'm going to take my shirt off and I'm going to have a Pegasus across my back. Oh, and as I flex, yes, the wings will go. I mean, yes, it is this bug that we have here is one of the coolest, but you see that's our Pegasus there. Yeah. And it is an iconic image with what we do.
Love
and has
it
been mm-hmm for the entire 68, 69 years we've been doing it.
Yeah. Love it. Good. All right, Brian.
I wanted to get an old one. So I found this one.
Oh, nice.
This is from the first one, I think.
The U.S.
1956 Marine Corps. U.S. Marine Corps.
You know, that's the neat thing is there have been so many great. When I stepped into this role, I did not ever think that I would step into the president and CEO role. I loved what I did. It was part of the operation and the product and the event. And they did a national search, and it was Mike and other peers on the board that said, you really should throw your name in the hat. And I loved the piece that I was doing. And when I stepped into the role, somebody gifted me a picture of the 1957 parade. And it was a nighttime parade. And it's going the wrong way down Broadway, is what we call it. It was going from west to east.
Right.
Everything was lit up, electric. And you can imagine now we could do it with a couple batteries and LED lights.
Sure.
But imagine what it took to light up a parade at night.
Absolutely.
Then. And the message that was given to me was when people say, well, we've always done it this way, as you go to change it and evolve it and not change it for the sake of change, but change it for the sake of the future. And it said, you better know where we came from. And it is a piece, and that's not even on Broadway. If you
no,
look,
it's definitely
it is
not
on Broadway. And so there is a story behind this that the Marine Corps, and they've been a great partner of ours. They bring a lot of bodies out to do volunteerism. And they, if we break down an event and you've got 20 Marines, they're as good as 400.
I guarantee it.
And, you know, even those kinds of folks who do what they do for the United States come out and support what we do and love what we do. I mean, it's awesome.
And the Marine Corps pep band.
Has been my goodness.
Just unbelievable this year.
They are.
They'll be at the bed races hopefully again this year.
Yeah.
I know we're working on that. It's not finalized, but they were there last year. It adds so much. I mean.
It does.
Yeah. They're incredible.
Love it.
All right, Brian.
I can't even imagine where you
found
that, Brian.
It's really interesting, though. People, next time you drive down Broadway, realize how Broadway is actually set up for the parade.
It's designed
the way
for
lights,
us.
The street lights are and everything is so that we can get big.
Floats and everything
and floats through.
Oh,
the,
yeah. Very cool.
When you get just past ninth, then you get wires that go across. When you're on Baxter going east, there are intersections, there are medians, but from Baxter all the way to 9th Street, there are no intersections.
It's the
left turn lanes. It's built for us.
The knowledge that we just learned.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
The Kentucky Derby Festival leads up to the Derby. So there's a lot of fun at the Derby, including hats, right?
Yes.
So I wanted to get your take on this hat right here. That's something else, isn't it?
That is something. I mean, as we all know, so I'm single and I've been dating someone who is not from this community, and she's going to be my guest at the Derby, and she doesn't understand the hat. She went to her community and she said, I can't find a hat store. And I said, well, come to Louisville. You know, we've got the hat ladies.
Everywhere.
We've got, it's everywhere. And she started doing some research and she is blown away about what it takes and
what it costs.
It costs, right?
She's not into that one?
That would be a tough one.
Look at the lady.
I would wear that one in a heartbeat. I mean,
look at
in
the
a
lady
heartbeat.
In the orange there. She is just,
she's like, this dude's in my way.
Well, you can tell that's in the infield. Look at all the green grass.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I will tell you, our friends at Churchill do a great job. You know, what they've done in the last handful of years to make it all inclusive. Gosh, just the investment they've made. Have you seen the paddock now?
Yeah. Unreal.
I mean, it is unreal. And they have embraced, and it's a great example of what we're doing as an organization. They did an evaluation on their brand, decided and determined that it is one of the most iconic brands in the world, and embraced that. And we're going kind of through that same existential flex and discussion.
Love it.
And to see what they're doing and still making it about Louisvillians too.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love going out there. I'm a people watcher.
What a segue.
It is.
What a segue. And oh, a couple no. more.
Let's see what
pictures.
Brian found.
So, yeah, these. This, here's another.
Just some
hat.
More hats.
I mean, look at this.
Just thought that was
it
a fun
is.
One.
Got the little toy horses here.
I love
that. Next one there.
That's kind of what I would build.
Got this one
little
here.
Toy horses.
That's nice. See,
that's what we see at the bed races. I mean, at the bed races, that would be running. That would be chasing
yeah,
itself,
right.
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because the engineers involved. Yeah.
It
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah.
And then this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I bet in that he's got the bottles turned upside down. And he's got one of those straws like you see at times. And he could, yeah, there's no question.
Smart, way to go, my man. Way to go, my man. Yeah.
Directly on his head. Now, over the years, those twin spires have seemed to shrink down below, but this guy's
really
got
has.
Them raised
yep.
way up.
Well, that's to hold the 175 bottles that he has yeah. on each side. You well, see, he's, said, got even, he's even got some posts like still on his shoulder yeah. to support that weight.
I think that's pretty cool, too, is that as they've done all of that development out there, they will not touch that
iconic,
I
want
to say 60
spire.
Yards from right, yeah. from east to west yep. that occupies that, but they can build all around it to make sure. And the neatest thing is during COVID, during our period, they lit those twin spires in the teal and pink about what we were doing, and then turned it back over to their colors right before they went into their space. And that's just, it is a great partnership.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. It's probably the strongest it's ever been.
It is really
yeah,
the strongest
really
it's ever
yeah.
been.
So then I have a feeling that these people came from this area.
There's no question. That's how you could tell it's the Louisvillians Derby is, yeah, there are people.
Do you have an infield story?
I do, but I don't remember it very well.
All right.
You know, I was probably younger than I should have been, and it wasn't when they were, you know, scrutinizing everything that came in, and it was all about security after that. And you go in and, you know, you wonder, okay, does this really stand up to the hype? It does, and I think in the first 15 minutes that you get there and you see, you know, all the things that you used to see there and... I think I only did the infield twice. One, to make sure, to see if it stood up to hype, and two, to see if I remembered anything about it. And two was enough. And
I mean, this lady's having the time
she
of her
is.
Life.
Look, she's drinking as it's she's going down the slide.
It's incredible.
You know, and that is pretty impressive.
She's from Kentucky. There's no doubt.
There's no question.
Yeah, I've only done it twice as well. I did it senior in high school.
Two is enough.
And then my friend got arrested, and we were home to watch the Derby.
Yes.
And then... we did it as a fundraiser when I was coaching basketball, and I had the lemonade, like, shake 'em stands, you know? And I guess when I was shaking them, I was working the thing, working the booth with my wife. When I was shaking them, I guess I was really getting into it with my back end. And my wife pointed out, she's like, I got this one lady who keeps on buying lemonade. She just gets lemonade and gets back in. Just
oh, that's
just
funny.
Yes. See you shake it.
It's the Gandolfo shake, man. That's awesome.
It's good to know that you
that
got
is
fans,
good to know.
You know?
Hey, Ryan,
go.
Is this
I
a,
love that you found that one. Is our people.
Is there another Kentucky person in here?
Oh, yeah. How about this guy?
I was going to say a second ago,
how
right before, there's the Portageon running.
There is absolutely.
Well, there's Portageon running.
This guy couldn't hold it anymore.
No. Well, look at all the things flying at them. They're the aluminum bottles and, yeah. And I think, are his pants up?
No.
His pants
down? Oh, no, they're not. Yeah. Nope, yeah. No, they're not.
I guess
you
if you're going to do
here,
it.
He's having a great
this guy's yeah. like, this guy's amazing.
Yeah, the funny thing is that
this guy's getting out of the Portageon as quick as he can.
The guy on top might be somebody that we know. He could be a CEO of one of the companies we work with. He could
never,
be.
You never can tell.
Yeah. As long as he's not looking at the camera.
You never know in the infield.
Because I always say all the time, thank goodness they're not these things. When we were growing up.
I know.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
We all wouldn't be right here right
That's
now.
That's exactly
would
right.
Be my guess.
Right.
Have you ever climbed on top of a Portageon?
I have not. No, just not.
Will this year be the year?
It will probably not be the year. Well, I'll be doing the radio stuff.
The funny thing is, I hate to say it, in my 26 years, we've got a lot of great stories that involve Portageons because they're an important part in what you do. How many times we move them, how many times we...
Basically, you get on the board of directors just to move Portageons.
That's exactly right. Good, yeah. Yeah, if you're going to come volunteer, there's going to be Portageons involved. And... we call them blue water and brown water. There's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
There is a big difference.
Brian, you got one more for
you
us.
You got one more. So the way this ends, I'm pretty sure, is this guy right here.
Oh, yes. I will tell you. you know, the and looking at that picture, I probably know that guy that is holding the guy down, not the guy in the mud.
You know the police officer,
yeah.
But I will tell you as
it's Brian actually.
But not, there you go. You pulled it off your phone,
like from Mike, my phone. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Like Mike pulled the Muhammad Ali photo off. He's like, oh, I'll find this one. One of the best partners that we have in this is Louisville Metro as a whole, and they are phenomenal partners. Doesn't matter if it's Craig Greenberg, Greg Fisher, Jerry Abramson, all of those folks who've stepped into those roles. But LMPD, the Louisville Fire Department, Metro Safe, all of those who help us keep these events safe. We could not ask for better partners. We get calls from all over the country, our peers, and we're one of the top in the industry. I mean, as one of the largest festivals in the world.
And that's 100% due to him, by the way. And he won't say that. But he has worked so hard on that relationship when he was an event manager, and when he stepped in this role, he made sure that, you know, him
that continued
taking a bigger seat did not mean that he was going to forget about those guys. I mean, those the police officers, the fire department, the EMS guys. I mean, they all just love and respect him so much, but it's 100% because of him.
That's awesome.
I appreciate that. I mean, they suit up every day and they come out and they don't have to come help us make safe events, but as a parent, I want safe events. Mm-hmm. As a community member, I want safe events. And these folks come out and they do it all day. And they do it with good attitude, and they know that they have to raise their kids in this community.
Yeah.
And that's right. So our hats off and a big cheers to those folks who do it as well. And you know, the that guy, I wouldn't want to be the guy that's got his hands behind his back. But you know,
he probably doesn't feel any pain.
That's right. No, he doesn't feel any pain.
He's feeling great right
now. He's all right.
And
he doesn't even know
partners.
What he's done yet.
That's exactly right.
He'll wake up. Yeah. Later.
Probably thinks it's his buddy sitting on top of him.
Well, they haven't actually.
I don't even know if my first time in the infield wasn't like that. That's why I had to go back a second time.
see if you remember.
Right.
They have an actual drunk tank there in
they
the
do.
Infield.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they do.
They will.
Wow, Brian,
into.
Tell us yeah, about that. What do. Was that like?
I don't know. I saw pictures of it. Yeah.
And I'll say it one more time. They get to teach people all over the country how to do big events because we've been doing it for 150 years,
yes,
as is detailed. And when communities, it doesn't matter if it's New York, it doesn't matter where it is. They come and they talk to these folks because they are the pros.
And that really showed, I think, to me, the year we had the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
And we had the huge windstorm.
Yep.
But because we put on the big events, like, We had that Ryder Cup when, I don't know about you guys, we didn't have power for 11 days.
No,
that's right.
The Ryder Cup did.
The people who came in for the Ryder Cup or the people who watched the Ryder Cup on TV had no idea that the day before we had this massive windstorm come through and with just unbelievable
just
amount of damage.
Crippled.
And especially that area. I mean, that area is probably the area that got the hardest.
Well, you know, the Breeders' Cup, I mean, Mike, I know you're involved in that stuff too, is the reason we get chosen so much is because of the support you get from Metro Government and Metro Louisville and the state of Kentucky.
Because they understand it.
Because they understand it. And, you know, people need to be aware. It is so unusual for us to have this international festival that we're having, then the international horse race, and then 2 weeks after, we have the PGA Championship.
That's right.
And this town can do it. There aren't a lot of towns that could do it. You
that
know,
can
when
turn
you get,
like that on
that
the
can
dime.
Turn like that.
Poor, don't forget your moms and Mother's Day in between.
That's right.
Don't let them get lost.
That's Michael.
Especially your wife, you know.
So true. So, we're lucky in this community.
Well, guys.
Good job picking those pictures,
Brian.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Guys, thank you all so much for coming out and spending some time with us. I know we went a bit over, but that's what happens on our show. We're having a lot of great conversations.
This is why it's one of my favorite podcasts, man.
Hey,
kill it.
There we go.
Yes.
Guys,
kill it.
Again, thank you so much. Brian, go ahead and take us out.
Thanks, Matt and Mike. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/@FirkinPodcast. Questions or comments can be sent to mailbag@FirkinPodcast.com. Visit our Patreon to become a founding member at patreon.com/FirkinPodcast. Subscribe and rate us on your podcast platform of choice and make sure to share it with a friend. But until next time, let's raise a glass to the stories behind the drinks. Cheers!
Cheers. My glass is empty.